You're listening to The Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, parents, I'm excited to be back as we're exploring these 14 principles that Paul Tripp gives us in this book, the 14 gospel principles that can transform your parenting. We've talked about our calling as parents is that we're to shepherd our kids' hearts, that we lead with the grace and mercy that the Lord has extended to us, that we're really turning our kids towards the gospel, that they are broken sinners in need of a Savior. We talked about how, as parents, our identity cannot be found in our kids and their success and what they're doing or not doing, but rather that our identity is in Christ, that He's given us this mission to parent our kids, to shepherd their hearts, to be followers of Jesus themselves. And so today we're going to look at authority and character, because really authority is important not only for us, it's important for our kiddos too to understand. Here's what Tripp says in the book. Your children must learn early that they have been born into a world of authority and they're not it. Why is this so important? Because submission to authority that is not me is unnatural for any sinner. Sin makes us want to go our own way. Sin makes us want to set our own rules. Sin convinces us all that we know better. Sin causes me to do what I want. Sin causes me to want to do what I want to do and how I want to do it. Sin makes me resist being told what to do by another. Sin really does insert me in the center of my world, the one place that I must never be, because it is the place of God and God alone. So you can see, again, we're coming back to this principle that as sinners, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Eve took that fruit and was convinced by the serpent that eating that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was like she could be like God, right? She wanted to be on the throne. She wanted to be the decision maker. And so what we have to recognize as parents, but what we need to train in our kids, is that authority is a thing. And ultimately, it's God's authority. But God gives us as parents also the authority to raise and to train our kids up. And so we need to just be constantly teaching them in those moments of discipline that when they want to do something and you told them not to do it, and that's disobedience, that you're training them to understand why that's wrong, why that's hurtful, why that makes God sad, why that makes you sad, and why obedience is better, that showing love and respect for authority is a good thing. It's the way God designed us to work. But you know, in our nature, even as parents, we don't like to be told what to do. So as parents, we have to make sure that we're setting the tone that authority is a good thing, not a bad thing. And that depends on how we go about it. Here's the principle that Tripp talks about. One of the foundational heart issues in the life of every child is authority. Teaching and modeling the protective beauty and authority is one of the foundations of good parenting. And I think the key there is the protective piece of authority. I think a lot of parents, sometimes we can be harsh, we can be quick to react, we can just be like, you disobeyed, so here's your punishment, go to your room, you're grounded for a week. And our kids can misinterpret or understand the point of the discipline, that we're just judgmental, that we're just reactionary. But we see that the heart that God has for us, His authority is for our good. It's for our development. It's for changing us and growing us to live out the fruit that He wants us to have in our lives, right? It's protective. It's not controlling and demeaning. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as many people might think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Just showing this heart that the Lord is patient and that He wants everyone to have this opportunity to respond to the gospel message. Psalm 86:15 says, but You, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. So parents, this is a hard, high calling for us, this principle of authority. We are to reflect the heart of God's authority to our kids, because they're going to learn authority first from us, and then eventually we're redirecting that to them wanting to be obedient to God themselves, right? As parents, once we've raised them, we move out of the way, and now they see God's authority over their life. So we need to make sure we're reflecting the heart of God and His authority with our kids in the way we parent, that we aren't just angry and abusive and controlling and discouraging, but that we come from a place of compassion and mercy with love and faithfulness and patience to help our kids learn and grow, right? Proverbs 22 says to train your kids up in the way they go. This isn't a one and done. We talked about this The last time in the process, like, parenting is a marathon. It's a journey. It's a million conversations over many years. It's not just follow these rules and I've checked my box of parenting, or I'll have one conversation and you better just catch it all in one. Like, it is an ongoing process. And the way we parent, the way we respond, especially in times of disappointment or when our kids are disrespectful, that we still reflect the heart that God has for us. Because again, parents, remember, we're broken sinners too. We've needed the grace and mercy of God too. This isn't just about our kids. So when we have that right vertical identity, right, and we understand who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, and why we needed a savior ourselves, we can be more gracious in the way we respond to our kids as we're working with them in their brokenness and in their disobedience. So I want to go to Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, because here's where the authority is, and here's what the Bible says, speaking first to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. But then it goes on to say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so here we see this authority in the home God gives to parents. So kiddos, God's design for the family is you obey your parents. So again, this is part of what you're teaching and training your kids, the importance of obedience, of showing love and care and honor for the rules, that that's the right thing to do, and that it's a commandment with a promise, in that when our kids learn that obedience is the better way, there's more joy to that. There's better relationship with mom and dad in that. You're not getting in trouble and getting negative attention. That it goes well for you because the rules and the authority are there for their protection and for their good. And so as you're training them up and they're realizing that, okay, mom and dad have way more knowledge than I have. So if this is a rule they've put in place, they've explained it to me like, this is for your protection and your good, because we know better. We're adults. We've lived longer life. And ultimately, of course, God, who set everything in motion and created us, knows exactly what we need and what we don't need. And so obeying God and obeying our parents leads to a much better life. You're not getting yourself in trouble. But it does go on to say, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, right? So again, here's this piece of the puzzle that as parents, we need to remember that we're modeling the authority and the way God deals with us. So we shouldn't provoke our kids to anger by the way we punish them or the way we talk at them. If we're condescending, if we're judgmental, if we're mean, all that's going to do is just make our children be hard-hearted towards us, to not be responsive to us, because they're not going to trust that our heart is for them. And then over the course of time, if that's how they view authority of mom and dad, then why are they going to see the authority of God to be anything different? I mean, this is a high calling for us parents of what we represent for our kids. Our job is to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We have a purpose. We've already talked about this. Our purpose is to lead our kids to the gospel message, to understand their brokenness, why disobedience is a thing, why they want to lie, why they want to hit, but that Jesus offers a new life, a new heart for them, that he will give us the strength that we need to choose differently and to live a life that honors God and honors others, right? Love God and love people. So parents, our job is to train and to lead and to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Our kiddos' jobs are to obey mom and dad. So that's what the authority structure is supposed to look like in the home. But again, remembering that then ultimately we're always making a connection back to how we, even as parents, are obedient to God. And we want our kids to be obedient to God, that our rules are a representative of God's rules that he gives us in the Bible. That's where I want to go, to Hebrews 12, and see how the writer of Hebrews connects this idea of parental discipline with that of the Lord. And have you forgotten the encouraging words that God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate or are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So we see this connection that the writer of Hebrews is saying, like, listen, if God didn't love us, then he wouldn't care what we do. Like, his rules are for our protection because he loves us. It's like us as parents. Like, it would be unloving for me not to say to my three-year-old, we don't go chase a ball in the street, because they don't understand the risk that's in the road of cars driving by. So as a parent, I have the responsibility to set the rules to protect them from being hit by a car. And that's what he's saying. Like, God's rules are in discipline are for protection. And even though discipline isn't fun in the moment, it's training us, it's disciplining us so that we can live a life that honors God, and we're walking in intimacy and connection with him rather than enmity. And I think that's what, as parents, we need to remember, that our role of training our kids and teaching them and disciplining them, we're doing it with the heart like God has for us, that it's for our good, that we might share in his holiness, that as we understand his character and how he is, that with the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, like, we can reflect that character. And that's going to bring us more connection and peace, because we're walking with God and not against him or against his rules. So parents, we represent authority for our kids. And we have our rules and we have the things that we need to establish in the home. But what we want to make sure is that we're doing it with a heart that's reflecting God's authority, and why it's important that our kids, in obeying us, that they're ultimately obeying God. And because eventually we're going to step out of the way, and our kids then are going to have to be left to decide, like, okay, do I believe that God is good? Do I believe that God's way is better? And if we've raised our kids and constantly brought back everything in our parenting and even in our discipline, and why obedience happens, or why you just hit your sister, like, that's just that sin pattern that's in all of us. If we can identify that and train as we go, then we're pointing our kids to understand their sin condition and their need for a savior. And it all comes together and makes more sense, rather than as parents, we're just mean and controlling and judgmental, and they lose the heart behind the protection and the love and for their good. Here's what Tripp says: the more your children understand the why they do what they do, the easier it'll be for them to admit their wrongs and seek your forgiveness and God's. Remember, because everything they do comes out of their hearts, everything they do reveals their hearts. Helping your children see what their behavior reveals about their hearts is gospel work. How often do you combine moments of discipline with patient, insight-giving instruction? That's kind of the question that we want to move as parents, not to just create a bunch of rules and just, you know, they either obeyed them or they didn't, and you punish them and then you just think your job is done. Like, no, we're shepherding the heart of our kids. We're taking moments to teach them in moments of discipline. That we don't just send them to their room and never say anything, that we come back to that. We come back to God's word. We say, this is why God says, this is why it hurts God's heart when we lie, because we're saying something that's not truthful and that's not kind towards that person that we lied to, or that we're trying to avoid punishment, that telling the truth is always the better way. Because you know what happens, kiddos? The truth always comes out. So why want to do extra hurt? Just be truthful, be honest, and deal with the consequence of whatever you were trying to hide or protect, instead of doing additional damage by hurting someone by lying to their face. Because again, you can just, like, bring in the golden rule. Do you want people to lie to you? How does it feel when someone hits you or grabs your toy from you? It doesn't feel good. So these are all parts of the things that you're just in your discipline are training your kids to understand your authority is ultimately God's authority, and why they should submit to that and understand it. And this really ties in then to his principle of character. So I'm just going to briefly highlight that. The principle says not all the wrong your children do is a direct rebellion to authority, but much of the wrong is a result of a lack of character. So parents, I think for us, what we need to remember in practicing the principle of authority is that we really are trying to get to the character development. We're not just trying to do behavior modification. We really want to teach our kids the why behind the rules and the why behind the discipline needed. Here's what he says in the book. It's your God-given job to unfold deep mysteries of the universe to your children, to make connections for them that are not only insight-giving, but life-transforming as well. They need you to do more than announce failure and instill guilt, attach a consequence, and walk away. If you can't have a conversation that makes these important heart worship connections, schedule it later, but capture these opportunities. These moments are moments of grace. God is revealing to you what your children don't see and don't understand so you can show it to them so that the Spirit of God can work concern, conviction, and confession into their hearts. So you see again how this whole idea that he speaks to and talking about is that it's really a gospel-centered way of parenting, that you're identifying just the sin patterns that you have as a parent and your kiddos have in them, and how a relationship with Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit changes that trajectory, that all of us just want to go our own way and put ourselves on the throne, that we say, no, God is on the throne, so I'm going to be obedient to his way, to his authority. And right now, as a child, my job is to be obedient to my parents. And here's what we say. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, for what you say flows from what's in your heart. So again, just these principles that you're teaching your kids, like, hey, your heart, like when you just hit your brother, that came from a heart of like anger or an unkindness in your heart. How does God want us to treat others? He wants us to love others. He wants us to be patient. This is where you can connect back to the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. Tying in these principles of what God would rather us be like, and that when we butt up against those things or when our kids do something that wasn't patient or wasn't kind, that we can bring the discipline to that, but then explain why the fruit of patience or kindness is important, that that's what makes God's heart happy. That's how God treats us. He's not unkind to us. He's not mean. And as parents, our authority in the way we discipline shouldn't be unkind and mean. It should be purposeful. It should be clear. And again, pointing to what we want to develop in our kids, which is character. And that's going to take time. That kind of comes back to that idea of process. So parents, I know that parenting can be an exhausting deal, but I promise the intentionality you put into it, reminding yourself of your brokenness, but the grace and mercy of God in your own life, just keep speaking that over your kids. Be intentional. You know, teach authority, that like God's authority, that he's slow to anger, that he's merciful and kind. He's clear. I mean, God has his rules and he's clear, but he's not mean and judgmental. So let's not be that in our parenting. And then let's just remember that we're training our kids to have the character that God wants them to have. And it's our job to teach and to train and to have all those conversations that point them to Jesus and to a heart that wants to honor him. And honestly, at the end of the day, for our kids to just be reminded and understand that they're not the center of this world, they're not on the throne of their life, God needs to be on the throne, and it will go well for them to be obedient to you and ultimately to the Lord.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.